Greetings, fellow seekers, and welcome to The Global Entity, a blog, a movement, and now, finally, a podcast. Almost 2 years ago, I decided to uproot my life in Sweden to search for my purpose in life. Since then, I have been slow traveling Africa and sharing it through writing. I am Julia, your messy philosophical friend who believes that everyone has a purpose, and here I am searching for mine. By sharing my journey, I hope to ignite the spark of possibility within you, dear listener, because living through the heart isn't necessarily about dancing under the African sky. It's about embracing the wild, untamed beauty of your own existence. So hit that follow button and subscribe, because trust me, you won't want to miss a beat. Without further ado, let's dive into today's pose. A solo female traveler's safety contradiction. Negotiating independence. Traveling as a young woman. When I was 21 years old, I did my first solo trip ever. I was flying to South Africa to participate in my friend's wedding. It was so exciting. I drew up plans for everything I wanted to do on my own, who I was going to visit, and booked everything well in advance. Since then, I've changed how I travel a lot. Nowadays, I try to leave as much space open for life to happen to me instead of me deciding it beforehand. But some things I feel never change. When traveling alone, I've often found myself feeling dependent on the men in my surroundings. Specifically, I feel dependent on their presence when I want to go out at night or explore a non-touristy area. It's not that I'm afraid of being attacked by a stranger. Rather, it's a way to protect myself from unwanted advances and conversations that I get as somebody that is visibly a foreigner. As nice as it can be to get genuine compliments and attention, this is not the type of interactions I'm referring to. Being a white young woman traveling on my own makes me an easy so-called target, not just for harmless, curious interactions, but for people who see me as a walking money bag or a sexual object to attain. That attention can sometimes feel constant and limiting when I travel, especially when I'm out at night in a party environment and people are a bit intoxicated. Lines can easily get blurry. Unless I am perceived to so-called belong to another man. Many times people assume that I am together with one of my male friends, and I do not correct them since it enables me to be more free from attention. What is solo travel security? When I write about travel security, what I really mean is freedom of movement, regardless of your gender, race, religion, etc. In other words, that I am free to move around, feeling safe regardless of who I am or how I look. But since it is specifically I, Julia, writing these texts from my experience, freedom of movement is mostly restricted because of my gender. Not by anybody actively telling me not to go somewhere, but rather as a culmination of my internalized security strategies, fears, and gender roles in society. Creating security as a solo traveling woman, in comparison to doing it at home, is no different. The only difference is that when I'm traveling, I'm often in a completely new context where I don't know the social codes, cues, and norms. This is, of course, a huge difference, and one that makes all of the difference. I just wanted to underscore and underscore again that this is not a geographically specific text. Even though my examples are from my experiences in Mozambique and South Africa, I would say you missed the point if you think these structures, problems, and norms aren't global. Creating security is something that I more and more come to believe can only be created together with others. No matter how much the patriarchy tries to teach women that they are responsible for their own safety, my personal experience is that if somebody has ill intent, it will not matter who you texted that you were going where or what shoes you were wearing to be able to run, you will still be put in a shit situation that forces you to think and act outside of the security strategies that you had prepared. Despite knowing this, that security is created with others and cannot be created alone, as I travel alone, I still find myself creating strategies to keep myself more safe. Or maybe I should say, to create the illusion of feeling safer. All of these strategies rely on me, not on the group or the context, so I understand how contradictory the following text might feel. But that is also quite spot on for how I feel the argument of female security are. Contradictory. Damned if you don't and damned if you do. So perhaps the following text is less on the security creating act, as much as trying to describe the dilemmas women like me face when we navigate spaces on our own. Traveling security dilemma. There is a kind of skewed security that comes with, quote-unquote, belonging to a man. I say skewed security for many reasons, one of them being the often problematic dynamic that can be created between me and the man I'm relying on. What happens if he confuses his protective role with actual flirting? What happens if he expects something in return for his quote-unquote protection? Furthermore, every culture is different. A simple example is time. In Mozambique, I never know when something will actually happen because said time is seldom the time that is applied. A less easy example to generalize is flirting, boundaries, and communication. In some contexts, what I say will be taken at face value. In others, there are hidden expectations in just being you that are easily missed when you are in a previously unknown context, which can complicate things when you are out and about solo traveling, often experiencing things solely because you dare to say yes to be included into a new experience. I don't like the feeling of dependency, and yet at the same time, I have not figured out how to be an independent traveling woman. Meaning, in certain contexts, like at night, I would rather stay in at home than explore a new city. I am grateful every time I meet a man that can provide me with a freedom that I am yet to understand how to create for myself. I guess, in a sense, I am my own prisoner and liberator. If I could change my perception of risk, or the perception that I have power over it, I would maybe walk the streets at night on my own. But that day has not arrived yet, and therefore I have, more than once, found myself dancing after somebody else's tune instead of doing what I want. Solo travel story time. Naturally, sometimes the strategy of belonging to a man backfires, like the night I was at a concert with friends. The local guy friend, who had driven me and another friend around all night, asked to come inside to use the bathroom before he continued driving home after the event had ended. Ni más problemas. We had a wonderful evening, danced together, and met all of Maputo. When he comes out of the bathroom, he announces that he is too intoxicated to drive home and asks if he can sleep over, saying that the hostel owner always lets him stay the night. Sure, I say. But I think it's rather odd how he suddenly is too intoxicated after not drinking one drop the whole evening. But I am not about to tell a friend to hit the road when they say they are intoxicated, nor will I tell him to sleep in the car when I have plenty of room and he has driven us around all night. My dorm is empty except for me, and since he does this all the time, I feel it's rude to say no. When I show him the extra beds in my dorm room, he protests and tells me he has no intention of sleeping alone. I want to explain to him that I am not interested in him. And here is where it gets tricky. Up until now, this is a person that I've been hanging out with almost every other day. It is a key person in the group of friends I have here in Maputo, the only group of friends I have here. If he takes my rejection the wrong way, I risk ending up completely isolated from the group. There is a saying from Nicaragua that says it's better to be alone than in bad company. Or maybe it's global. But we should not underestimate how hard that actually is to do. Humans are wired to equal social inclusion with survival. It is so human, it is instinctual. The fear of exclusion is a powerful, powerful mechanism, and I remember carefully weighing the consequences of my rejection in my head before speaking that night. My breath slows down and I try to take him in, evaluate how my words will be received. When I finally do speak, his first response is to say sorry. But then he looks up at me and starts saying all the reasons we should. We end up in an absurd back and forth, and I feel the knot in my stomach tying itself tighter every time I have to reiterate my no. It makes me uncomfortable trying to balance being clear and at the same time not hurting his ego. I don't know if he's embarrassed by my rejection or what, but after some back and forth, he lies down on the bed, turns his back towards me, and stops responding. 5 minutes later, I feel a flash of anger as I look at him sleeping peacefully. He doesn't realize or care about the uncomfortable predicament he has put me in. He is no longer a friend crashing over at a friend's place. I feel like he first ensured that he could sleep over and then ambushed me with his real intentions. Honestly, it feels manipulative and it pisses me off. I toss and turn, my anger going to worry and back again. Listening to my own thoughts makes me angry too. Why should I be the one awake, worrying? This is my room. If I am not comfortable with him in it, I should just throw him out, right? But I won't. I know I'd feel too guilty about throwing a supposed friend out on the street in the middle of the night. On the other hand, making me feel this uncomfortable is not giving me friendly vibes. Why do I feel like I owe him not to be rude, to be nice, when he does not return the consideration? I decide to go wake the night receptionist up and ask for another room to sleep in. I start feeling stupid over how naive I've been. I should have seen the intentions of the guy and protected myself from it. As soon as I catch myself in that train of thought, I stop myself. The habit of policing my own behavior in any kind of situation where blame is to be assigned is probably the patriarchy's most successful control mechanism. One of them, at least. One that I am actively unlearning a little bit every day. It bothers me how dependent I am on the men I meet. It bothers me that he just fell asleep and I was left doing a risk analysis of the social consequences the situation may have for me. Qué merda, what a shit show. He probably doesn't even give the situation a second thought beyond the fact that I turned him down. What happened here is not something that is unique for Mozambique in any way. The many safety contradictions that women have to navigate is, in my experience, something very global. Even at home in Sweden, when I am in my own known arena, I experience these types of dilemmas. The difference is, when I travel solo, I am completely without context and community of my own, leaving me more vulnerable to these situations. When we see each other in the morning, it's slightly awkward as we both pretend that everything is fine. I suppose that he is embarrassed over getting rejected. Personally, I am just relieved that he doesn't seem angry or too butthurt. But from now on, I'll be taking my own cab home, always. This is not independence. Alright guys, that was it for today. As some of you know, this blogcast is part of a larger travel platform that specializes in festivals and social sustainable tourism. If you want to check it out and join our community and get the latest news, the link to theglobalentity.com is in the bio. There you can also find my email address. If you have something to say, something to share, or maybe give me a tip, send me a few lines and let me know what you think. If you enjoy this blogcast and want to support what I do, please give it a great rating on your podcast streaming platform. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Afear Podcasts, and anywhere really where you get your podcasts. Have a great week and don't forget to dance. Sound and tech production today was Tawanda Joseph Mutsena. Author and producer is me, Julia Cervantes Anderson. See you next time.